Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You know, You've got Round Daddy, who, you know, Louisville was shot.
Here we go.
And then you get, like, 25% of the team who comes down with the flu. Well, you know, And Round Daddy goes, oh, their tum-tum was hurt. And then, in the same exact show with Andy Sweeney, we start talking about Evansville. And then he says, well, you know, we had a bunch of players who had the flu that game. So it's okay for Kentucky to, you know, use the flu excuse for their Evansville loss to Evansville. But it's not okay for Louisville when they have both quarterbacks that they're probably going to use in the game with the flu, and when they bend over, they don't know what's going to come out. Okay, but that's not okay. There's another great example of Kentucky wanting to have it both ways.
It's not me having both ways, it's true, and I didn't use it as an excuse, Mark. I did not use it as an excuse. Let's not reinvent things, but that was a good back and forth between me and Mark Blankenbaker. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680, 105.7. I'm James Strebel. Jeff Flightsey Jr. joining me this evening, as well as Zach Cantrell running the board over there. Hey, your Derby headquarters when it comes to cigars, beer, wine, bourbon, everything else, that's Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. They got 27 area locations. You can walk into the store. You can drive through. You can do delivery. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors, that's Louisville's go-to liquor store. Domestic beer, craft beer, top shelf bourbon, just bourbon for mixer, anything you want, they have it there. It's a one-stop party shop, a one-stop Derby 150 shop, and tomorrow you get the buy three, get one free cigar deal going on, so stop by, stock up for your cigars for the running of the roses, coxeslouisville.com, 437-9680, UPS jobs text line. Their text line has been popping off for the show today, good stuff there, so I've got to do this. Now, Jeff, and so last night, I get a text from Phil Baker.
Yes.
And it's a picture. And at first, I didn't know exactly what it was. I just see Terry Miner's smiling face. And then I see, sitting next to Terry Miner's, Dan Issel. Big Is. And Terry Miner's he's got his arm around Big Is. I'm looking at the picture right now. Big Is is sitting in front of Terry Miner's and News Radio 840 WHAS in the background. And Terry Miner's in his hand is holding the Big Is bourbon.
Yeah, he is.
And it says here, look who's in my at 840 WHAS studio with his new bourbon at Dan Issel 44. And I are ready to talk basketball. Stream it here. And there's more pictures of Dan and Terry talking. And apparently Dan's in town, Jeff.
Yes, he is.
He's in town. You're not going to come visit your buddies at ESPN Louisville, Dan. I don't get a bottle of bourbon, Dan. What's going on here? You never did a show with Terry Miner. You did a show with me. Did Louie get some bourbon? How about Drew Dieter? What about Jeff? Did he get any bourbon? What about
like
us?
We bourbon over here. Yeah,
exactly.
Like
what about you did radio with us for years, Dan? And you're going on radio with Terry Miner's. Did Terry Miner's call out John Calipari for not giving you T-shirts? Did he call out John Calipari for not giving you tickets? Did he not make John Calipari issue a statement saying how much he loves you? No, Dan, that was me. That was James Strebel. I stood up for your behalf. I fought for you. I made John Calipari make a statement on Twitter about you. I can't believe it. I've stabbed and stabbed the back. Judas Iscariot, you betrayed me. Dan, I've been betrayed by you. How dare you, Dan Issel? Now, you're number three on my list for the greatest of all time Kentucky basketball players. Number one, Anthony Davis. Number two, Mike Pratt. And now number three, Dan Issel. How about that, Dan? Two can play at this game, big boy. It infuriated me, Jeff. He's a hero of mine. Stabbed me right in the back.
Oh, man.
For Terry Myers. Terry Myers is a Louisville fan. Yeah. He's a Louisville fan. What are you doing, Dan?
Terry Myers, he's smiling, too. He's got the bourbon. It's a big smile. He's letting him know, hey, Dan.
Dan's smiling. He's happy, too.
Yeah, they're happy together. Not here. Not with you. Not
Kansas,
with Louis. Yeah.
Bill Self, Terry Myers. Yes. How much more betrayal can I take? That's the question. How much? Paulie Walnut said that. How much more betrayal can I take? I can't take any more for you, Dan. That's it. I'm done. I'm done with you, Dan. Third on the list. Number three.
So if Dan wants to come by ESPN Louisville this week, would you have him on? After the test, you'd be the rebound chick. You're your second.
I don't want to be the rebound. No, I don't want to be the rebound. I don't want to do that. Louis should have been number one. He did radio with Louis for 2 years. He should have been number one. Instead, Terry gets it. How dare you?
In studio with the bourbon and everything.
Texture, do you want Dan to switch to Kansas to full time? That's already happened. He's already switched to Kansas full time. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Do you want him to switch to Kansas full time? Get out of here. Come on. What are we doing here? All right, I got it off my chest. I was able to get off my chest, Jeff.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that all so long. All right, so a couple things here before we get to the 5 o'clock hour, or sorry, the next break and everything. All right, number one, for me, Jeff, just to ask you, so NC State lands Mike James to go along with Brandon Huntley Hatfield.
Yes.
What do you think about that that tandem there in NC State? How do you feel about having to play both of those guys next season?
Hey, man, good for them. You know, for them going to a program that's coming off a Final Four. What it further continues to confirm is that we had a ton of talent on last year's team.
I agree with that.
I mean, think about the schools they've went to. You got two go to NC State, a Final Four team, one to DePaul, one to Illinois and another to UCLA.
Yeah.
And one to Georgetown.
Yeah.
So, like, none of them went to University of Arlington, Texas, or none
right.
of them went to, like, any Conference
Wherever
USA
Fabio
schools.
Wherever Fabio Baselli went.
Yeah, like, exactly. They go to, like, all these Conference right. USA schools or lower-level schools. They went to other Power 5, Power 6 schools. So that lets me know there was talent there. So that just further hurts my heart. But nonetheless, it is what it is. And it's good for Kevin Keats. It's good for Mike James and Brandon Huntley Hatfield to try to keep, you know, those winning ways going at NC State after this miracle-type season. So I'm happy for them. We got to go against them. Happy for them. Hope they have a very good end to their career, their college basketball careers, except for when they play Louisville. But outside of that, you know, I'm happy for them, and I think they'll do well there. I think they'll do well.
I do, too. I think those are the two of the guys that – and look, I think Pat Kelsey and Mark Pope both did kind of the same thing and just went in with a mindset that we want a clean slate.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't want any of the players to hang around or the coaches from the previous season. And, you know, there were rumors that Orlando Antigua was going to stay around Kentucky. I think it was clear that Mark Pope did not want that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like there were rumors that, you know, Nolan Smith was trying to hang around Louisville. And it was obvious that Pat Kelsey didn't want.
I think they were creating those rumors, by the way.
Oh, you think they were creating those rumors?
I think
Orlando Antigua was creating those rumors as well.
Yeah,
I think both guys were trying to hype up, like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you heard or not, but he was, like, basically just wouldn't leave campus.
I heard you say it. Yeah, I heard you say that. Yeah.
He's just kind of hanging around, like, yeah, hey, I'm here because his family's there, and I understand, you know, mm-hmm. you, just like Nolan Smith, his family's here.
And he did, like, a media tour to kind of say, like, I'd love to be back, and it's like,
man,
we read the Eric Crawford piece. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We told Eric Crawford about the stuff to put in his piece. I don't think we're going to have you back.
Yeah, yeah, it was like you had to look elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando Tigua already has a job. He's at Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything on the Nolan Smith side, I mean, what he's doing or what's going on? I mean, do you feel like... I haven't got to talk to you about this because I know you've interviewed Nolan a few times and, you know, gotten to talk to him and know him a little bit. But it's a hard question to ask because I don't know what you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But did Nolan Smith Miss Smith tarnish himself, or did Kenny Payne tarnish Nolan Smith, or was a little bit of both?
It was a mix of both. So, you know, we talked about it here on the show. Kenny Payne was a terrible coach for Louisville. Let's make sure that's evidently clear. 1252 speaks for itself.
We know. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But Kenny Payne is still highly regarded in basketball circles. He's still well-respected among the basketball community.
And he just got a great job.
Am I pointing exactly?
Yeah, he got a great job.
And if it wasn't Cal, like, he would have had options.
Yeah, he would have.
Whether it was the NBA, whatever, like, now he might not have got $900,000 from every option. I think that's your buddy hooking you up. I'm just going to be honest.
100%.
$900,000 is crazy.
That's crazy. For an assistant coach,
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is insane.
I saw that number. I was like, what? Wait a minute. Hold on. $900,000 for Kenny Payne?
Only Cal would have hooked you up like that, but he would have had other jobs. And so I'm saying all that to say he is still well respected within basketball communities, like, from his ties to Nike, to his coaching at Oregon, Kentucky, and being with Cal, all of that stuff, all the NBA players except in the Knicks, all of that. And so when this story comes out from Eric Crawford, like, one, Kenny hasn't said anything about Louisville, but he also didn't deny that story. He hasn't come out and denied that story.
He hasn't said one
thing.
The
university hasn't come out and denied that story, because
right.
Eric in his story said it was confirmed by the university.
Right.
So obviously, if it wasn't, and if Eric was, quote-unquote, lying on Nolan or whatever, the university would have shot that down.
Yeah.
But the university gave Eric that information.
Right.
And they allowed him to greenlight it. So I'm saying all of that to say it's hard to come back from that. Because when you're Nolan Smith and you're at these job interviews, you're at the Final Four passing out your resume.
Right.
Obviously, they're going to ask what happened at Louisville. But then they're also probably going to circle back to your boss. And this story about Nolan essentially trying to get Kenny fired made national news.
It did make
national
news.
It was
a
national story. And so these coaches know about that. So what do? They'll just call Kenny.
Yeah.
Because once again, Kenny is well respected. Hey, Kenny, did this happen? Yes or no? And I don't know what he's saying, but whatever he's saying hasn't allowed Nolan Smith to get a job.
Yeah.
Because if he's as good as we've been told that he is,
rising
just like,
star.
Just like Orlando Antigua, you find another spot. Because you can never have enough good recruiters or never have enough good guys that are connected to players. We see the relationship aspect of recruiting playing out with Louisville currently with Pat Kelsey.
Yeah.
Well, if Nolan has all these relationships and is as good as he's supposed to be, somebody would have picked him up. I mean, you can read between the lines there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, and only thing that I've seen from him so far is that he's working out Trenton Flowers pre-draft stuff.
That's the only thing I've seen, too.
That's literally it. Come on. So,
in my world, inheriting what I inherited, this is really year one for me. Because this is the first time I get to bring my players in and start the process of rebuilding a program.
Oh, man, that's just, oof. I know they grind your gears.
Yeah.
I know it is
what it is. It's year one for PK, not KP. So
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Ready, baby.
You're
I'm
ready to move on from him. All right, so CBS Sports did an article today. They did transfer portal needs for every major team in college basketball, obviously. Kentucky and Louisville added to the list here, and I'll go ahead. I'll read to you what it said about Louisville, but it says here: priority for Louisville point guard, new Louisville coach Pat Kelsey has to build a team from the ground up, and the initial outlook is bright. Terrence Edwards Jr. is an absolute stud. Javon Hadley is a veteran wing who knows how to hoop. Rain Smith and James Scott are Charleston imports who will help right away. In Smith's case, and an even bigger one down the road. In Scott's case, the point guard need is still glaring. Kelsey needs a veteran lead guard who can get the ball where it needs to go for a Louisville team that plans to shoot a billion three-pointers. Okay, so that's the Louisville need for the Kentucky need. I got to scroll down a little more because they did this alphabetically by conference. Of course, ACC's at the top, SEC at the bottom, and there it is, SEC. Okay, so for...
I can say the Kentucky need everything.
Well, same thing for Arkansas, too.
Yeah,
their priorities, point guard for them, and then for Kentucky, they need two-way guys. Kentucky did not have enough two-way hoopers this past season. Ugonna Onyinso was terrific defensively, but didn't give enough on the offensive. Defend Rob Dillingham was a shining star on offense and mistake plagued on defense. Trey Mitchell and Antonio Reed were both major assets offensively and left a bit to be desired on defense. Defensive end Adu Thiro was one of the top two-way options on the roster, but he's hitting the transfer portal. New coach Mark Pope has to find two-way game changers. Drexel transfer addition Amari Williams certainly qualifies. The big man has serious juice. So there's kind of where both programs sit about what they need, but no, you're right. when it comes to really both teams is like they need a little bit of everything right now. But I do like the idea of two-way players because we've seen it with John Calipari where you had the terrific offense last season but no defense. It was terrible. We've seen teams with John Calipari with Oscar Tshiebwe for his 2 years.
Yeah.
You had terrific defense with those teams. Offensively, it was a grinded out, especially the year two of Oscar Tshiebwe, grinded out time where you just had to grit your teeth and just try to win slow and try to win in the half court, which Kentucky wasn't very good at either year. But it's definitely a change of pace for both teams. But, Amari Williams...
They fought their balls off. I hate to say it like that. Excuse me.
Like I said, Amari Williams definitely checks some boxes. I'm not sold on his offensive prowess. If you tell me he's a great defensive player, I'll believe you.
Yeah.
He showed that, but I need to see more from his offense on that end. But, yeah, point guard for Louisville, need that as well as a point guard for Kentucky.
Yeah, no, it's like... UConn's the gold standard.
They
right?
are.
So, like, they're the gold standard. They're the ones that you're all trying to chase. And if you look at just their roster construction, specifically their starting five, talking about a two-way guy, he isn't the best defensive player, but he plays good team defense in Cam Spencer. You had your five-star stud in Stephon Castle. You had your two-way guy, point guard Tristan Newton, that just ran the offense to perfection every single time down the court. Your four-star, seven-foot center that's in your system for multiple years in Kliningen. And then Caravan.
And he's going to be an NBA guy.
And Caravan. Yeah. So, like you have to, but all of their guys excelled both on both ends of the floor. Like, they gave it to you, even if they weren't, the lockdown defender, they play good team defense.
Right.
And then on offense, they just ran the offense to perfection. All of them could shoot, all of them could pass, all of them could handle for the most part, and they all just did their job really, really well. And none of them averaged, 20, 22, 25 points per game. They all in the mid-teens.
Exactly.
Right? All in the mid-teens, but now you're going to produce three NBA players. Like, I think, Kliningen and Castle will probably be top 10 picks, and then Tristan Newton, if somebody's smart, I'd take him in the first round, but he'll definitely get drafted. So those are the things that every team is going to have to take that approach when building the roster. You may have one guy that gets in that 15 to 20 points per game, but then everybody else will be in the 10 to 15 points per game if you're the most efficient way of, play a basketball, the style of play that's winning championships right now.
Yeah.
And that's what UConn's been able to do the last 2 years.
Yeah, you're right. It's a mixture of guys. And can Pat Kelsey and Mark Pope get that mixture? Now, apparently, I don't know if you've seen this or not.
There's
a lot to see, but apparently there was some Louisville players in the locker room after the spring game Friday night that were throwing L's down on videos.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Do you know who those players are?
I don't know. I did see the video. I don't know if they were players on the team, if they were recruits visiting. I don't know what the case may be.
Yeah.
Because they were fully padded, which that's what recruits do when they taking pictures and
it
stuff.
It seems like they're recruits.
Yeah, so I think there were guys visiting that did it. That's what just from taking a look, but I have no clue who they are.
Yeah.
But it's the name of the game.
It's odd to go. Like, why would you? Because you only get so many visits.
Yeah.
You don't have unlimited visits, but why would you do that?
You only get so many official visits.
Official
visits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you can take unofficial visits and take pictures.
You
just can't. Technically, it's not supposed to post them. But, this looks like this was on an Instagram Live or something that a fan kind of screen recorded or whatever.
Yeah.
So, it's just the name of the game.
I mean,
it's the name of the game. It's how things work. Social media and attention is a drug nowadays. So people like attention. They like clout. They like social media stuff. So, it's just part of it. Nails down is a part of anti-Louisville culture.
It's
part of it.
It's just bizarre.
Be wearing the jersey and doing it is strange.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it's unofficial.
Yeah.
You pay to do that with your own money.
Absolutely.
Official, the school pays for it.
Absolutely.
Unofficial, why would you spend money, go to school and just do that? I don't know. It's bizarre. Travis Branham just put out, and again, as things are just happening. BYU big man Ali Atiki will enter the transfer portal. Source tells 247 Sports Portal. He's got a 43-inch vertical and averaged 14 points, 10 rebounds per 40 this year. So, okay.
How they do that, per 40.
Yeah, per 40 doesn't mean...
No.
That makes it seem a little better than it is. Yeah, per
Not
40 minutes.
Better, a
yeah.
lot better.
All right, let's look up Ali Atiki's actual numbers here, Jeff. Let's do this exercise. So, Travis Brown is saying, per 40, which again, Atiki's People are probably telling him, like, hey, put out here what he would have averaged per 40.
If he
40.
Played the whole game.
So, if he played the whole game, played all 40 minutes, he'd be 14 and 10. Yeah. So what was he at BYU? 4 points and 2.9 rebounds. Okay. he averaged 11 minutes per game. His freshman year, 3 points. Sophomore year, 3.8 points. Senior year, 4 points.
So he's been there years.
He's been there. He's been there three years. Okay. I don't think. When I saw the 14 and 10, I was like, how did I miss this guy?
Yeah.
He averaged a double-double. Then I saw per 40 minutes. Hold on a second.
That's a big difference.
That's a fancy way of saying.
It's to clean up. It's putting lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig.
Exactly.
It's still oinked. Still got a tail. Still tastes good in bacon. It's still a pig, Travis.
Still a pig.
You can't dress it up. No makeup. No lipstick.
You can't dress a tiki alley a tiki up too much there, Travis. A nice try, though.
He tried it.
Man.
Yeah. I told you, but this is what, you know, agents, and this is what, whether it's agents or coaching staffs or whoever, this is how they're doing it when people are in the portal.
Like, you're right.
You got to clean it, because if this guy ends up at Kentucky, because not saying he will, but
right.
if he does end up at Kentucky, you want this to be the narrative. 43-inch vertical, average 14 and 10.
Yeah.
Over 40 minutes.
If you extrapolate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you want the narrative to be, because if you just put 4 and 3 and he was a senior or junior or whatever, it's like, that doesn't sound as good as 40 and 10 or 14 and 10 in a 43-inch vert. Like, that sounds a whole lot better than 4 points, 2 rebounds.
Oh, yeah.
For a senior at BYU, you know.
I just found it funny because I saw that pop up and I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
I was like, where'd this guy come from? And I was like, oh, whoops. Like, oh, boy, a little bit of misleading press there. But that's another thing about all this is it happens with recruiting too. Just all the lying, and the misdirection, and the maybe not even just outright lying, but the fudging of numbers and some of the things that are going on is just kind of like, oh, okay. I mean, is a coach really going to look at that and be like, oh wow? I mean, seriously. I mean, these coaches know who a lot of these guys
are. Exactly who they are.
They're on their radar. They probably get reports about, here's who you need to hit in the transfer portal, and these are guys you need to look at, and you know, breakdowns of their stats and what they did in the previous lending spots. And no coach is going to read Travis Branham. Nothing against Travis Branham. I'm not trying to knock him. He's doing what his job is to do. But then I go look at Travis Branham's tweet and be like, oh, wow, maybe if I bring him here and he's playing 40 minutes, he'll give me that. Like, nobody out there's thinking that.
That guy has been in college basketball 3 years.
Exactly.
But he's not like a – because here's the thing. There's a difference between seeing something like that from a guy going into his second year of college basketball versus a guy going to his fourth.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I've got 3 years of film, or lack thereof of film, to know who you are, versus a freshman
that
is like, okay, oh, you're a freshman and you average 4 and 2. Okay. And you got the 40 inch vertical. Okay. That's like unmolded clay. I feel like I could do something,
with that.
Yeah. But
when you're a senior,
yeah, I know who you are. Like you're an old, you know, you're a used whatever. Like,
yeah.
You're used. Like, okay, whatever.
You can sit on my bench.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can sit on my
good
bench.
Leadership. Good,
locker room guy.
We need guys to be able to celebrate and when we have big dunks and stuff like that, because you're going to need a couple of those. Oh, yeah. You know.
You're going to need locker room guys.
Absolutely.
For sure. Absolutely. But, yeah, I did think that was very, very funny. Man, it's been an eventful newsy show today.
Yes, it has.
And I'm sure it will be tomorrow and days after that as well. I mean, every time you refresh your feed, there's more out there, and there's all kinds of just misdirection and grossness, and none of it's fun. I just still can't
you're
get
swimming
those
in different waters, Strieble.
I know.
Welcome to
see,
this
normally
side.
I'm sitting here and I got my feet kicked up watching everybody else fight over things.
Yeah, you're
I'm like, I have
about,
a base at least.
Yeah, McDonald's All-American and Jordan Brand Classic games. That's what
I watch those.
Yeah, instead of refreshing Pete Nankos and Travis Branham and Hayes Fawcett,
Mike Wilt.
Joe Timpton and all these recruiting guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was funny is even before Cal left, I didn't even watch the McDonald's All-American game this year.
Yeah,
because I was so pissed off at what happened the previous year. I was like, I'm not watching it. I'm not going to do it to myself. And now I'm trying to get excited another way, and it's still not working. I'm trying everything. I'm literally trying everything. I've even put my money where my mouth is. I'm trying everything.
I mean,
to get hyped about this, I can't do it. Even though Jack Grossman can sit here and tell me Great Osabor is a fantastic player, I don't know that. I don't know what he can do. I never seen him. I never heard his name until this week. And you're going to tell me Utah State? Maybe Utah State comes in here and is awesome. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that. And I don't like it.
You still have to battle, you know, his former coach at Washington. So you still got to battle it out with him and possibly Pat Kelsey. And like, and that's the thing about the portal. Like, you can get your hopes up about a kid and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it works. Like, that's the name. Now, that happens in high school recruiting, too. But it didn't happen in Kentucky too often.
No.
It didn't happen to John Cap. Because once he, you know, red beamed a guy, he pretty much got him.
Most of the time,
he got him.
He had like, a really good track record.
Yeah, and this is not like no soup sandwiches. We're talking about the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
He got those guys for the most part. They were either going to him or going to Duke, and a couple would scatter to Baylor or whatever.
Kansas, places like that.
But it was mostly Cal get his group of guys, Duke gets their group of guys, and then the rest of the guys kind of, you know, flutter everywhere else. But most of the guys went to Kentucky, and this is a different ballgame.
That's the thing, like this week started out as, you know, excitement for, you know, Mark Pope and Kentucky and everything. It's like, okay, they got a visit every day scheduled this week, and then they start missing out on a couple of guys like that, because I mean, Pat Kelsey's missed out on a couple of dudes already, and it's part of the game. You're going to miss. You're not going to hit everybody. And again, I'm used to Cal just like you said, honing in and getting who he needs to get.
Yeah, if he wanted Rob Dillingham, even though he's committed to NC State or whatever,
he'll get him.
You know, DJ Wagner's granddad is at Louisville. He got him.
Doesn't matter. He got him.
Aaron Bradshaw. Everybody in the country wants Aaron Bradshaw. Got him.
I'm interested to see what happens with DJ.
Yeah.
Because
he's still out there.
He's been very quiet.
It's very quiet.
He was quiet during his recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though the gas bags like me and you know, quote, recruiting experts trying to like gin it up and make it to where it seemed like there was a lot going on, there really wasn't anything going on.
Yeah.
I mean, he was honed in on Kentucky from the start. Like, it came out like it was going to be Kentucky the entire time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know.
Yeah, like, and the deadline for the NBA draft to declare is coming up soon, and I don't think he's officially going to declare.
He's just in the transfer portal.
And I'm sure he's got suitors. I mean, he is still DJ Wagner. There's a lot of teams and coaches and programs that are recruiting him out of high school, and there's somebody somewhere saying, oh, I can fix that. Like Cal was using him wrong, whatever. I can make him better. He can help our team, blah, blah, blah. So it's just the question is, who are those teams? Because he's not putting it out there. His family, his agent, whatever, the school, whoever it is, they're not putting anything out there about his current situation. And a lot of the guys, like, especially if his caliber, get wrapped up fast. Like, you saw the Aaron Bradshaw
stuff
got taken care of really, really fast. Then other high-level former five-stars.
Jeremy Roach got wrapped up quick.
Really, really fast.
Once he hit
the portal. So, DJ stuff being out there lingering is interesting to watch and see what happens.
And it's weird because, I mean, was he the player that everyone expected? No. But he wasn't a bum.
No.
Like, he had a very good freshman season.
Yes.
He had 9.9 points per game, 3.3 assists, shot 40% from the field. I mean, he dwindled off at the end of the season after the injury.
Yeah, it's the injuries, yeah.
He didn't score at all against Oakland in that final game. Only had 8 against Texas A&M in the first round of the SEC tournament. But he had a couple games there, beginning of the season, middle of the season, where he was a damn good player. I mean, you go back and you look, I mean, he had, let's see here, there were games he had 22 points. I mean, against, he had 22 points, 28 points. Against UNC, he had 14. Let's see here, against Florida the first time, 14. There's a time in the beginning of the SEC season where, listen to these scores, before he got hurt, he had 14 against UNC, only had 2 against Louisville, but 14 against Florida, 16 against Mizzou, 18 against Texas A&M, 18 against Georgia, and then it trailed off after that. It trailed off. Only had 4 against South Carolina, 8 against Arkansas, only 3 against Gonzaga, 0 against LSU, 4 against Alabama. Then he had some more double-digit with Arkansas. He had 10, 19 against Vandy, 11 points against Vander, 19 points against, or 10 points against Mississippi State. I mean, he had some really, really good, solid games.
And the only reason why anybody could even say that he wasn't very good or didn't live up is because of the other two freshman guards that was on the team.
Because of Rob Dillingham and Andrew Reed Shepard.
You're immediately right next to them, and those guys are going to be top 10 picks in the draft. But if you just put DJ Wagner's stats by themselves, he's a good player.
Yeah,
like think
very
about
good
it.
Player.
Like, we're excited. This is like just for comparison. Me and Louisville fans are excited about Corin Johnson. And him and DJ average the same amount of points per game.
Right.
I mean, essentially, like, DJ was 9.9. I think Corin was 10.9. So it's like literally 1 point difference, but it's because of the context. DJ was a top 5 player in the country.
Exactly.
And he was on the same team as two other highly touted freshman guards. And those guys are going to the NBA and going to be top 10 picks. And he's in the transfer portal. But if you put it by itself, it actually isn't nearly as bad as it is next to Rob Dillingham or Reed Shepard.
Exactly. That's a good point. And that's the big highlight that everyone needs to know. Texter, DJ is going to Memphis. Okay. I mean, according to what? Yeah. Again, I've not seen one thing about DJ going anywhere. Like, I'm not saying I expect him to be at Kentucky. I don't. But I've not seen one person say he's going to Memphis. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but if you have context to that, please send that in. Texter, according... never mind. I'm not going to read that. Texter, I thought you meant per 40, not per 40. Yikes. No, not per Pat 40.
No, no.
Per 40 minutes.
Yes.
Texter, transfer portal has completely destroyed the college game. Probably won't go back to the Yum Center ever. Well, I mean.
Oh, man. That's a bit extreme.
Yeah, that's very extreme. I'm still going to enjoy college basketball and rooting on Kentucky basketball. Do I like the portal? No. But, I mean, if you love college basketball and you love your team, you still go and support them and cheer for them. Texter, you like two-way players, whereas Chris Mack just likes five ways. I don't know what that means.
No clue.
I don't know. Oh, Skyline Chili.
Oh, yes.
Woo! I was like, oh, did I just get got there? But yeah, Skyline Chili, which is disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
It's the worst.
It's very gross.
I've had it 100%. One time. I'll never go back.
For
Jeff.
What? There's no need. There's no need to go back.
Texter, Pope pooping the bed. Go get the Utah State Ford. Let the big boy programs play ball. Thank you. Texter, there goes Rig having Lightsy have to talk about guys leaving us. Manipulation Radio in full swing again this hour.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Texter, why would Issel go with a guy who ran him off of radio? No one ran Dan Issel off the radio. Yes, he retired. No one ran Dan Issel off the radio. Stop it. Get out of here with that. Texter, Big Is, did you like he did UK? Terry is the new Kansas. Oh, yeah. Big Is, did you like he did UK? Yeah. Terry is the new Kansas. Yeah, I think that's right. Texter, the portal is awesome. Most guys who don't like it didn't get picked up on their middle school basketball team. I was on my middle school basketball team, and Tox, I won a city championship my 7th grade year. How about that? And I played high school basketball too, Tox. Get out of here with that. I got picked on my teams.
Hey, Tox. Oh, Coach Wall's got Amari Berry. How you feeling?
Is
this Coach Wall still in your doghouse? You got 3 5 stars coming in next year. Talk. Come on, let me know something. I don't know. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about this year's team. No more 6 seeds. No more losing to MTSU. No. Because the 5-star, that's the thing about 5-stars in women's college basketball. They're really like
that. No, they make an impact right away.
Yeah. You get Juju Watkins, Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark, Angel, they were all 5-stars.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really, like, that's not to say don't miss on any, but they don't miss on many. Like, they don't miss on many. We get 3 on one team. It's good, ain't it, Tox? Let me know something. I feel real good about next year, baby. I feel real good.
Did you see Haley Van Lith is back in the transfer portal?
I did.
She refuted that she's transferring to TCU.
A week later. Like, yeah. So for a week, you let everybody talk about you going to TCU. And then all of a sudden, actually, I'm not committed there.
I didn't say that.
So, yeah, something.
There's something off
there.
About her.
Yeah, there's something off there. Something happened there. I have no clue what it is. But you don't fight a rumor a week later. Like, that's not how it works. You don't let your name essentially trend on Twitter for a whole week based on you going to TCU and then come out and say, actually, never committed. Yeah, you did. Something's off there.
He responded, so Wall's going to have 5 stars and still blow 20-point leads in the tournament.
Not at all, Tox. I'm about to go Streeble, Tox. Not at all. Jeff Walls is going to have us ready. We're going to be winning championships. We're going to be in the ACC championships. And we're finally going to get our first title. We're building our foundation for a championship team, Tox. There it is. How about that?
How about that, Tox? He says, Kim Mulkey stinks. Yeah. I didn't say that. I like, you know how I feel about Kim. Yeah. You know how I feel about Kim, Tox. I ain't talking bad about Kim. Never. All right, let's take a break. On the other end, we'll wrap up the show. Got a few topics left here on the table. Jamal Murray, Tyreek Hill said something I think is a little crazy, but we'll talk about that here in a minute. And then Texas got to stop with this Arch Manning stuff. They got to stop. Enough.
Okay, well, I got to hear
enough's
this.
Enough. All right, let's go ahead. No reads right now. So, Zach, we'll go ahead and take a break. Be back to final segment here on the Roundtable.
listening to The Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Hey, we have a additional programming, plenty of additional programming, our family of shows here on our two stations. Wednesday, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. after the Dan McDonald Show, you'll have Louisville Sports Live, 7 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Thursday, Soccer City, 6 p.m. on ESPN 680-1057. Friday, Inside Churchill Downs at 6 p.m. on ESPN 680-1057. We'll get ready for Derby 150. Saturday, Down the Stretch, 9 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Victory Formation Sports Show with Jeff Licey, James Black, 10 to 11 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville as well. Then Sunday, we cap it all off. Sunday Morning Hangover, 10 to noon. Nick Curran, Phil Baker, Zach Cantrell, ESPN 680-1057. Texter, DJ had that buyer's remorse. He knows he should have gone with Granddad. Texter, who was right? Journalist for... Journalist versus conspiracy theories. I'm not diving into that right now. Listen, since I want to enjoy your program, listen to sports to get away from politics, but you continually let your liberal leftist views shine through. For example, you despair. This has to be for Ennis. Let me finish. For example, you disparage Aaron Rodgers because he doesn't adhere to your political views by calling him a conspiracy theorist. Just know that the conspiracy theorists are ahead in the count, and then he has a whole bunch of stuff I'm not getting into.
That is actually hilarious.
It's hilarious.
And the fact that you said, this has to be for him.
It had to be for him, because they were like...
Because it definitely has to be for Mark. Because
I don't talk bad about... I mean, I don't like Aaron Rodgers, yeah. But I don't, like, talk bad about him.
But Mark does not hold back.
Oh, I know he doesn't hold back when he does that. But it really kind of said liberal leftist views. I'm like... I don't think I have right-wing views or leftist views. I think I try to pretty much play it down the middle as best I can. A lot of people are like, you're MAGA ring. They'll tweet text that in every once in a while. But yeah, I started reading that. I was like, hold on a second. Like, oh, yeah, that's for Ennis. Yeah. Like, all right, 437-968 EPS jobs text line. All right, let's talk a little non-Kentucky, non-Louisville-related stuff here. Now, are you a Lakers fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I thought so, because I saw your reaction on Twitter.
Oh, sick.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that was an all-time shot there.
Yes.
By Jamal Murray. I mean, that was awesome.
Great shot.
And what was crazy, Jeff, is that spot on the floor where he was, where Anthony Davis almost blocked him, mm-hmm. that was almost the exact same spot that Henson was when Davis made the game-saving block against North Carolina. When Kentucky was one,
yes,
and UNC was three or two or three or whatever. It was almost the exact same spot, except for this time Jamal Murray hit it.
Yeah, it's a different level. It's a different type player. Yeah.
Much different type player. Much different type. Like, yeah. I don't know what happened to Henson. I don't know where he is.
He had a cup of coffee in the NBA.
I thought so. He was a
now
lottery pick.
He's doing
pick.
A lot of Field of 68 stuff, actually.
Oh, is he really?
With,
okay.
Like, with your boy Jeff Goodman.
Oh, yeah.
Good bum.
Yeah. Good old good bum. I mean, he still, even though he doesn't hate Kentucky as much as he used to, mm-hmm. because Cal's not there anymore.
Same with Louisville. He's like chummy Louisville now.
Oh, yeah. He likes Louisville.
Kelsey's his buddy. Like, that's his friend.
Yes.
Like, that's his
carry that
friend.
Water, Jeff. So, carry that water.
Jeff, carry it. Yeah. Now, did I ever tell you, have you ever heard my story about when I saw him and Tom Jurich at the Yum Center?
No, what happened?
Oh, okay. So I was there in 2013.
Oh, you was hanging out at the Yum Center.
Yeah, I was covering the game. Yeah, okay. First Sea of Blue. I was there doing journalist stuff. It was really funny because they set me right next to Matt Jones, and Matt Jones didn't show up.
Oh, wow.
Of course not. He wasn't going to Yum Center. But his little nameplate was right by me, yeah. And I was like, oh, this will be interesting.
Yeah.
And then he didn't show up. But anyway... It was before the game. I was on the court, and I was kind of like taking it all in and taking some pictures for the website and doing some stuff like that. And first off, I looked up, and it was the first time that Gorgie's parents were able to come to America and watch him play at Louisville, which is kind of cool. Like, yeah. They ushered him down to to their seats. They were, close to the court, obviously. And so that was cool. And then I look out of the corner of my eye, and I see Jeff Goodman and Tom Jurich walking down the court, like, together. Like, again, like, buddy-buddy.
Exactly.
Like, he used to be nice to Louisville. Louisville.
He was.
He was nice to Louisville. Yeah. He was in tight with Jurich. Mm-hmm. That's what Goodman. If you give Goodman news, he will be nice to you.
Oh, no. He's your best friend.
He's your best friend.
And he will. I mean, you see how hard he goes for a guy out in Georgetown. He goes really hard for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes hard for his buddies. Like,
yeah.
He roots hard, and his bias is very much shown.
Oh, but it's very funny when he calls out like Seth Woody. Greenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves
Woody.
He loves IU because his daughter goes to
IU. That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's why he loves IU.
And he's breaking her into the business. She's breaking news now.
Yeah, she is. Yeah,
breaking
yeah.
news, transfer portal news, women's college basketball, men's college basketball. She's in good. So, yeah.
So I did think that was funny when I saw that shot last night. The other thing, so Tyreek Hill said that he would torch Deion Sanders.
I did see that.
In his prime. And I'm like, and Tyreek Hill's a great player.
He is.
But he said I'd put up 175 yards and two touchdowns on him. And you need to go watch film, Tyreek. Hey, look, I grew up watching primetime. Yeah. I mean, he was in my wheelhouse when I was like an adolescent.
Mm-hmm.
I watched him at Florida State, watched him with the Atlanta Falcons, watched him with the Dallas Cowboys. That dude was different when it came to covering receivers. Like
Absolutely.
He was the first true lockdown corner.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first.
Stay off the weed.
That's right, Tyreek Hill. Stay off the. Stephen A. Smith, tell him again, Stephen A. Tell him, Stephen A.
Weed. You can't stay off the weed.
You're damn right, Stephen A. And like I said, I like Tyreek Hill. I think he's a great player. But let's slow down without. I'd burn Deion back in his prime. Prime time was prime time for a reason. It wasn't just because he was some nice player. He was a dude in the NFL and in college.
Yeah, I mean, to play to 37 at the cornerback position, I mean, that's enough.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, enough, you're different.
Yeah.
And plus, the whole, again, nothing against Tyreek Hill. The entire Deion thing was something of its own.
Yeah.
Where he was, I mean, he was making rap videos and he had clothing lines and he had the gold chains. And he was like kind of like the first like hip hop player.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
He was hanging out with MC Hammer on the sidelines.
Hammer Time. Hammer Time was in Atlanta. I was, you know why? I was an Atlanta Falcons fan for a while. Because when I was a kid, I loved MC Hammer.
Yeah.
And I liked Deion. I was like, yeah, but they were like the cool team.
Yeah.
Like they had Andre Bad Moon Rising on the team. And I was like, Jamal Anderson doing the Dirty Bird. Yeah. Like, I was like, they were cool.
Dope jerseys, like dope jersey concepts.
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta
was like a cool team.
Yeah.
And so I jumped on the Atlanta starter jacket.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
I bet that was
dude is fire.
He was killing it with that.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, Zach. You see? Little Hammer Time. Break it down. But, yeah, I used to love the Falcons. The hammer pants. I had a pair.
Of course you did.
I did. little 10-year-old me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I had some hammer pants. Then I got into grunge and heavy metal. I went through a hip-hop. Like, I would feel like the hip-hop phase was, like, nice and kind and sweet. It was like DJ Jazzy Jeff, the Fresh Prince, and the Fat Boys, and LL Cool J before he made Doing It, stuff like that. Mama said knock you out.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I transitioned over to grunge and metal, and then gangster rap showed up, and I was like, okay, this is dangerous, too. Because when you become a teenager, like, you want to leave all the nice stuff behind.
You want to be like a rebel.
Exactly.
You show that you're a big kid.
Exactly.
Or an adult. Or a man.
I'm a man now. I'm listening to Alice in Chains, Dan. Yeah.
I'm a man. I'm
Hammer.
40.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a man. I'm 40. Yeah. I don't need MC Hammer anymore. You get the fat boys out of here. You understand me? I don't need fat boys. I'm listening to Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
And then gangster rap blew up, and then my cousin Jeff, he brought Eazy-E's first solo album over, and I listened to that. You talk about like, whoa! And then I became a fan immediately. I was like, this is great. And then I was introduced to Too Short.
Yeah, a lot of vulgarity in the streetwise.
Too Loud Crew. That's when Walkmans, like the Walkman, was great.
I was about to say, a lot of music you can't play through the stereo.
No, I wouldn't put that. I had a 5-disc CD changer, and I would keep like my rock CDs in there. But like when it came to like Dr. Dre, like all that, like I kept that hidden. I kept those tapes.
The stash.
Yeah. stash. Put it in the Walkman and turn it on. Like, I didn't hear that pumping through the house. Yeah, that would have been bad times for me.
I had all my rock albums out, and I made sure my parents didn't hear that I was listening to Eminem show on my way into school every day.
Show.
It's weird when I'm driving in on Sundays and people are going to church, and I'm here blasting Eminem or Dr. Dre or what. Cultural shock.
Why is he listening to that song about that band trying to kill his wife? What's going on?
We're going in to talk about the Lord, and this guy's trying to kill his wife.
Yeah, it's art. He's talking. His wife did him dirty. Take that, Kim.
She cheated on him. He deserved it.
Take Haley Jade and run.
It's with him. It's okay. Go with him, Haley.
The crazy man.
Yeah, he was. All right, last story I have on my sheet of lies here. All right, so Texas is trying to... Okay, my wife sexed me, and it's not a big deal. She's fine. So apparently Arch Manning did really well in the spring game.
Yeah, he killed it. Three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns. And they're trying to, like Texas fans are, like, trying to push Quinn Ewers out of the way.
Yeah, they are.
They're like, what are y'all doing? Like, what? Number one, that's the spring game.
It is.
It's the spring game.
And he looked awful in the spring game last year.
He did. He looked awful. He looks better.
And he looks way better this year. So, yeah.
Quinn Ewers had you in the – you were in the playoff with Quinn Ewers. He's going to be a Heisman Trophy, like, favorite.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be one of the favorites before the season starts to be in the Heisman Trophy conversation. It's like, what are y'all doing?
Well, they want to maximize their – well – one, I think they're in the championship game if Ewers throws a better ball in the game against Washington.
Sure.
He didn't throw 80 Mitchell. He threw it too far inside. I feel like if he hit the corner, they probably are playing Michigan. Who knows what happens, right?
Yeah.
Michigan probably still wins, but who knows? And so that's part of the last thing in their memory.
Sure.
And then the first thing since that memory is Arch Manning throwing for three touchdowns. And as a recruit, he's supposed to be the greatest recruit in the history of
mankind,
right? And then I see him do that. It's like, oh, I want to see that because next year will be year three for him.
Yeah.
And in their reality, I could possibly only see this for 1 year. Now, I'm a person that thinks Arch does 4 years in college no matter what. But you could realistically, if he is who you think he is.
And he blows up next
year.
He's
only going to be one and done. And he's going to be off to the pros to be a top three pick or whatever. So that's why they're like, hey, man. We know what Quinn Ewers is, and he's all right.
Yeah.
But we try to see what that is. Like, it's like when you get something new. Like,
sure.
Your thing still works. Like, their old thing still works. But, I really want to see what this new thing's like. Like, I really want to see because it looks really, really nice. And all the ads, all the reviews, everything's telling me it's the greatest thing ever. And in my first sneak peek of it, even though it's a spring game, it looked awesome. Like, his passes were on point, and he throws for three touchdowns and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I really want to see this. But so I see where they're coming from because if I was a fan, I'd probably be on the same thing. Like, let's see what this works like. Because now, especially in the ever-changing days of the transfer portal, it doesn't look like Arch is going to move. But you're also scared that you lose him for nothing.
Right.
Like, you're also scared of that. So it's like either I only have him for 1 year or potentially not have him at all. I want to see what that is and get the most out of that because I feel like that has a higher potential than whatever Quinn Ewers is.
Sure, and that makes sense. Like, I agree with that. But it's like I could see it more, though, if he came in, you know, if Quinn Ewers gets hurt or something.
And he did in the game.
And he goes in a game and they're playing Missouri or they're playing Arkansas or I don't know, Ole Miss or something like that, and he torches them like a kind of like middle of the pack SEC team and you're like, oh damn, like then I can see the controversy.
Well, if that actually happens, Quinn Ewers may just have to leave because there's no that's like you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube like that, like
100%.
If Quinn Ewers even has to, he only have to miss a whole game because he missed games last year and they still didn't see Arch.
No,
but if Quinn misses a half this year and Arch happens to light it up, now you're talking about, like, right now it's just chatter.
It's just
Twitter.
Chatter,
just
yes.
Light, and it's light chatter, I feel like.
Yeah.
But if he were to come into a game and make plays, it ain't going to be no more light chatter. It's going to be an avalanche of people wanting to see more of Arch, and that is when I think you may have.
You know what this is going to turn into? Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa down at Alabama. Remember Jalen Hurts got benched at halftime in the championship game. Tua came in and Tua took his job. Jalen had to go to Oklahoma.
Now, is this Quinn Ewers' last year though? Isn't this his fourth year?
Yes, he could come back.
Oh, he could come back.
Yeah,
okay,
he barely played at Ohio State.
Okay, so this is junior year. So you're right. It could be a situation like that, like where he could take his job and then Quinn Ewers is somewhere else next season. Absolutely, I can see it. But they're salivating.
Quinn Ewers is looking at this as an opportunity to, because he could have declared for the draft. And he would have got drafted.
Oh, so he would have.
They're looking at this as an opportunity 1 year to try to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, not just get drafted, to be a – and even not just a first-round pick, like the upper echelon of the first round. So that's what they're going to use this year as, because at the end of the day, Arch is going to be the quarterback next year. You know, that's the plan. Like, that's what they're rolling with. And I'm sure they've talked about this with the Manning family, because I am of the belief that Arch ends up doing 4 years at Texas. Now, that's uncommon in today's game.
Yeah.
But players like that, like – Eli did 4 years. Peyton did 4 years. Like, Andrew Luck did 4 years. Like, he's of the, well, obviously his last name is Manning, so yeah, those are his uncles. And he's of the mold of like an Andrew Luck. Even if he's projected to be number one, he could still come back, especially if they don't win the championship. So, like, I think there is a grand plan between Sark and the Manning family for Arch's future.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. They had to be on the same page. You don't commit to Texas where, you know, you have deep SEC roots. Uh-oh, he's showing me.
Some more stuff coming out.
Okay, Louisville just dropped the bag for Jaden Quaintance. While Memphis has the money to match, I don't think Memphis is dumb enough to match. Kentucky and Arkansas both dropped out because they refused to pay JQ that much. He will go to the highest bidder. So there you go. But yeah. I heard yesterday that y'all didn't want to pay that much for Jaden Quaintance.
Well, you just heard fans.
I didn't hear Pat Kelsey. I heard fans say that.
Fans, and it's because of the portal. You're feeling like, okay, if you drop the bag and he can leave after 1 year, then, yeah, fans are going to feel that way. But they're not talking to Pat Kelsey.
No.
Pat Kelsey's got a plan.
He's going to do what he wants to do.
And if he wants Jaden Quaintance that bad, like you said, I heard you say, well, Louisville's got all the NIL money, why aren't they spending it? Well, it looks like they're trying to.
Yeah.
If this report is right, it looks like they're trying to, and it ultimately could land them one of the biggest recruits in the history of the program.
Yeah, oh,
like,
he would be.
This is how big of a recruit he
absolutely
is.
Absolutely, yes.
Like, ranking-wise, he is one of the, like, highest-rated recruits.
Smartville Samuels was the highest, number one, mm-hmm, but he will probably be second behind Smartville Samuels.
Right up
absolutely,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yep. All right, well, we'll do it again tomorrow. Jeff will be back on the show. I'm sure there'll be more news to share.
You know it.
And we'll be back here on the Roundtable, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.